Okay, Bruchim Habayim to a very special seer, not only the way we advertise Parsha Insights, Parsha's Tazria, but perhaps even more than that, Haggadah Shel Pesach. I say even more than that because I hope to tie in Be'ezras Hashem, the Haggadah with the Parsha and the Parsha with the Haggadah. The seer sponsored Lezecher Nishmas Uli'ilui Nishmas, Rebecca Basarina, and Leon Ben Rachel. We daven that their neshama tayres have a lichtige lichtige gan eden. The shir also has another very special sponsor. It's being sponsored by Mr. and Mrs. Heshi Meyer, who actually were privileged to make a chasana last night, and literally walking to the chasana of their children. My dear Yadid of Heshi Meyer asked me that he wanted to sponsor tonight's shir for two reasons. Firstly, in honor of his parents, in honor of Heshi's parents, Reb Shleim and Devairi Meyer, who were privileged for a number of months during the year, are certainly such an integral chalik of our North Miami Beach Kehila. So we're very grateful that the shir is sponsored in their honor, and we talk a wish, Reb Shleim and Devairi Meyer, a bracha they should merit, kol habrochis haksuleis b'tayra, and to enjoy the Yiddish Anachas Gesundheit. And Heshi and his family also asked that we sponsor it in honor of the Chosid and Kala. As I said, they made a chasna last night. So to the Chosid and Kala, to Lazer and Sosi, we wish a bracha. They should be zeicha to build a bayis gadol v'neman b'Yisrael l'shem l'tiferes. It shouldn't be difficult at all to tie together these parshiyos, this week Tazria, next week Mitzairah, into the Haggadah Shel Pesach. When a person thinks about the Parshiyos Tazria Mitzairah, so obviously the central thing that we are struck with is Tzairas, a person who becomes a Mitzairah who has biblical leprosy, which is of course a punishment for speaking Lashon Hara. The Yom Tif, Pesach, that word is actually a makeup of the two words. Pesach is made up of the two words Pesach. Pesach means the mouth that speaks. So certainly it's so obvious the tie-in between Pesach, Haggadah Shel Pesach, and the Parshiyos of Tazria Mitzayra. Pesach, as I said a moment ago, is Pesach, the mouth that speaks. Working on having proper control of the mouth, because when one doesn't do that well, they suffer in Parshiyos Tazria Mitzayra from Tzairas, which is a result of the Lashon Hara. This past Shabbos afternoon, we spent just a few minutes talking about one nekuda of speech. And even though I want to get right into the Haggadah, to different aspects, I feel I have to repeat one nekuda that we said, and maybe it's something we could work on this Yom Tov. What does it mean, Pesach, a mouth that speaks? When we learn the Parshiyos of Tazria Mitzrayim, we know that the leper who's locked up for a number of days as a result of the Lashon Hara that he spoke. But what about the one who was locked up, and after being re-examined after 7 days, it turns out, based on the identifying signs of the blemish, that it didn't spread, it didn't grow, was the appropriate color, he didn't speak Lashon Hara. If he didn't speak Lashon Hara, then why did he have to suffer the indignity that for those 7 days he was sent away, he didn't speak Lashon Hara? So why was he punished with isolation? There's an extraordinary pshat, and this is a challenge of something I think we should work on over Yom Tov. That fellow who, after being locked up and isolated, it now turns out retroactively did not speak Lashon Hara, and therefore he's not suffering from Tzairas, so we asked a moment ago, so why did he suffer that he had to be locked up? The Mefarshim tell us he wasn't locked up for the words that he spoke. He was locked up for the words that he didn't speak. Sometimes a person is at fault for speaking when they should have been silent. But what about the times that we are at fault for remaining silent when we should have spoken up? In fact, there's a Zayar on these Parshiyos Tazria Mitzayra. Rabbi, listen. For those of you in the Heichal tonight, maybe you're not aware. We who are here every week of our lives, let's let them know. Every week of our lives we say, whether you're listening to the Shir in the Heichal, you're listening now as the phone, even though you're recording it. No need is being done every week of our lives, and it gets sent everywhere. For those who are listening, I will hear the recording when it's sent out. The challenge is to remember that it's not enough, as the Zayar says, in the next world, equal to the punishment for speaking when you should have been silent is the punishment for being silent when you should have spoken up. I hope we realize how profound those words are. The Zayar tells us a person naturally is going to be punished for speaking when he should have been silent. Equal to that is the punishment for being silent when a person should have spoken up. What about when somebody's being bullied? What about the person who has nobody to defend them? Perhaps they don't have somebody in their family to be there for them. Or maybe it's the person that just needs a kind word to feel validation or recognition. Are you stingy with your compliments? The fellow who was locked up for not speaking Lashon Hara wasn't locked up for what he spoke. He was locked up for what he didn't speak. And I'd like to make that a challenge for us, because the name of the Yom Tov that we're about to approach is Pesach, from the word Pesach, a mouth that speaks. I challenge us to focus, of course, on not saying things that we shouldn't, but equally, don't be silent when somebody needs your kind words. And by the way, that starts with your spouse. Don't be stingy with compliments or with saying something that could brighten their day. In fact, if you'd like an extraordinary proof that what we're saying is correct, that proper speech begins with your spouse and with your family, we open the Haggadah with the Halach Ma'anya after Kadesh Orchatz Karpatz Yachatz, Magid. What's the opening of Magid? Halach Ma'anya. It's even before the Manishtana. Halach Ma'anya, this is the bread of affliction. Anybody who wants, Kol Dichvin Yes, everyone's invited. What type of invitation is, I'm asking you, and you're a Kaidi. What type of invitation is it? It seems to be extraordinarily insincere. Your door is closed. Everybody's comfortable around the table. And you are saying with all of the flair, anybody who wants is invited, come and eat. Now, what type of insincere and disgenuine invitation is that? Doors closed and locked, you're surrounded by your family, and now you're inviting people on the outside? You never thought of that, and yet it's the opening of Magid. I believe the answer is, as your Seder is starting, this invitation is not for those on the outside. It's for those on the inside. Sometimes you have to turn to your spouse and your children and your siblings and invite them. There was plenty of time before Yom Tov to do the invitations for those on the outside. But now it's an extremely genuine and sincere invitation to those on the inside. You turn to your spouse, you turn to those in your family that are nearest and dearest that you love. I hope we could enjoy this evening together. I'd like to invite you to my Seder. I'd like to bond together. I'd like to grow together. I'd like the story of the Exodus from Mitzrayim, Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim, the evening of Emun and Hashem, to bring us closer together. So if the invitation, Mr. Kaihane, was for those on the outside, you see, since it's being recorded, you can't answer back. If the invitation was for those on the outside, it would be pretty insincere. Once in a while, you have to refocus and invite those on the inside, those within your heart, remind them, I'm not too busy for you. And tonight is about us bonding and becoming better together. And so if we're taking the challenge, not only what not to say, but equally, if not more important, what to say on this Yom Tov Pesach, it starts with our spouse. I said it a moment ago, and I'll say it again. Don't be stingy with compliments. A compliment or a kind word could very well not only brighten someone's day, certainly make them feel validated and acknowledged, but it may even save a life. And that is one of the obvious connections between the parshiyos of Tazria Mitzayra, which is the power of speech, and the night of the Seder, which is all about Pesach, the mouth that speaks. In fact, perhaps we can conclude this part of the shir by mentioning, in previous years, we've said there are many correlations between the night of the Seder and the night of Tisha B'Av. If Chalila, this Tisha B'Av, were still in Golos, Tisha B'Av night is the exact same night of the week that the first Seder falls out on. And there are indeed many connections between the two. In the center of our Ka'ara is an egg, and the last meal we have before Tisha B'Av, we have an egg dipped in ashes. As I said a moment ago, the same night of the week, the first Seder, and the night of Tisha B'Av. Why all of the strong connections? Perhaps we've already explained. Tisha B'Av is the saddest day of the year because we abuse the power of speech. And it brought about Sinas Chinam, and it brought about discord and disunity. Pesach, through the Pesach, is the night to repair that. That means already on Pesach, the first night, the Seder, we start planting the seeds to make Tisha B'Av into a Yom Tov. Maybe that's what Chazal mean when they say in the month of Nisan we were redeemed. And in the month of Nisan, we will once again be redeemed. Perhaps this is the explanation for in the month of Nisan, we start planting the seeds for the Geula Shalema, that which destroyed the Beis Hamikdash, misusing the mouth. We begin to rectify the first night of Pesach at the Seder so that Nisan could already bring about the Geula Shalema. Remember, to say those words and to be Mekayim, Pesach, and especially, as we said, the invitation begins with those on the inside. Let's talk a little bit about the Dalet Banim. Before I share with you such a beautiful, beautiful pshat, I think we have a minimum already. Now we're working on 26 years. There was a pshat that my father's atzal said countless times every year, and we've taken it upon ourselves that every single year, so I see some people are writing notes. If you've been here the last 26 years, you should have this pshat. Tonight will be the 26th time. I don't believe there's a year we ever skip this pshat. Such a beautiful, beautiful pshat from the previous Belzer Rebbe. We know that Avram Avinu had a tent that was open from all four sides. Many explain the reason it was open from the four sides is because the night of the Seder, our Dalet Banim, the Chochom, the Rasha, the Tom, the Sheina Yodea, the Chochom is the wise, the Rasha is the wicked, the Tom is the simple, the Sheina Yodea Lishol doesn't know how to ask. Avram Avinu's tent was open from all four sides to teach us. Every child has to be reckoned in their own unique way. This is not cookie-cutting education. This is not coming to my home only one path and one size fit. It doesn't work that way in chinuch. Certainly not in today's day and age. Avram Avinu set the template that had a tent with four sides to reckon with the Dalet Banim. Each one with their own unique approach about how to go ahead and be makariv, to reach out to them. Avram had that unique ability. I don't know if you remember, but about 15 years ago, in your shop down 163rd Street, when I came in one day, I shared with you the following pshat. It was at least 15 years ago. I don't know if you remember, but I certainly do. How did Avraham Avinu accomplish this unique approach in chinuch? How was he so successful having a tent open from four sides, each one to relate differently to one of the Dalet Banim? In the beginning of Parshas Vayera, right after the Bris Milah, the Pasuk says that he was sitting Pesach HaOhel at the entrance to his tent, Kechoim HaYoim, in the heat of the day. You should remember it because you wrote it down. Now, if it truly meant in the heat of the day, it should say he was sitting at the entrance of the tent, B'Chaim HaYoim. B'Chaim HaYoim means in the heat of the day. K'Chaim HaYoim means like the heat of the day. You're right. Technically, he was sitting at the entrance of his tent in the heat of the day. But the Pasuk is telling us something additional and much deeper. Avraham Avinu reached out to all. Avraham Avinu had a tent open from all four sides. Avraham Avinu cared about the Chacham and the Tam and the Sheni Yodea and the Rasha. I'm not pointing Halila in any way. Avraham cared about everyone. How was he so successful? But that the Pasuk says, because his love was Kichoim Hayoim, like the heat of the day, like the sun. What's so unique about the sun, especially after yesterday's solar eclipse, we remind ourselves? What's so unique about the sun? When the sun gives off its rays of warmth, its love, its illumination, it doesn't choose you I like and you I don't. You I'm going to make warm and you I won't. The sun is equal to all. Avraham Avinu's chesed, Avraham Avinu's love, he was the quintessence and paradigm of chesed, kichayim hayayim, kichayim hayayim, like the sun. And just like the sun shares its rays of warmth and love with all equally, Avraham Avinu did not make distinctions and differentiations. Is that not what we spoke out this past week about the chasida? The chasida is a bird that's not kosher, yet Rashi says, why is it called chasida? She'oisa chasidus im chavruseha b'mezainais. Because when it comes to provisions, it gives its friends food. So if it has such a wonderful name, why is it a treifa bird? What did we say this past week on our TMT? She'oisa chasidus im chavruseha. It's nice and provides provisions, but only with its chavruseha, only with the friends, only with those in the same social milieu, only with those that it's comfortable with. And that type of chesed is trait. Because genuine chesed is to be there for all. It's not always so easy. Sometimes it's difficult. Avraham Avinu taught us how to have chesed, kichayim hayayim. So what is the pshat from the previous Belzer Rebbe that we have accustomed to say every year? What was the name of the tefillah that Avraham Avinu established? Shachris. How do you spell Shachris? Shin, Ches, Reish, Yud, Sof. You're writing notes. What's the first and fourth letter of Shachris? The Shin and the Yud. That stands for the sun. Which one of the four? She'eno Yodea. What's the next letter of Shachris? Ches. That stands for the sun. That's the Chacham. What's the next letter of Shachris? Aresh. That stands for the sun. That's the Rasha. And the last letter of Shachris is the Tov, and that stands for the Tum. Avraham Tikein Shacharis. It doesn't only mean that he established the morning prayer. It means he established Kichoim Hayoim. This is the different type of sun, the S-U-N. Just like the sun spreads the illumination and the warmth and the love to one and all, to do any differently would be like the chasida, and that's a trefa approach. Shacharis Rabbeisai says the previous Belzerezer, Rashi Tevais, Sheino Yedea, Chacham, Rasha, and Tom. I dare say every morning we daven Shacharis, but do we behave Shacharis? Or sometimes are we a little too much like the chasida? If you're in my social milieu and you make me feel comfortable, I can do chesed with you on my terms. But otherwise, I make pretend like I don't see you and I turn the blind eye. Avram Tikein Shacharis, it's a tefillah that it's not enough for us to daven, but it's a way we have to live every day of our life. A little bit later on, when we talk about the Dalet Banim, the Haggadah says, "Kineged Arba Banim Dibra Torah," regarding these four sons, the ones we've been talking about the last few minutes, I'm so excited to share with you this pshat. I feel so strongly about this pshat. I think if we would all make this pshat a part of who we are, it could be a trailblazing approach in chinuch with our children and those in Klal Yisrael. And while that's a huge statement to make, I think you'll agree with me. Follow along. Many people, if you'd ask them, so tonight's the night of the Seder. Which of the Dalet Banim would you like to, you know, spend the Seder with? Many might say, and even if they don't say, they're surely thinking, I imagine the Chacham. It's easy. I could share many brilliant Torah thoughts. He would respond with extraordinary wisdom and erudition. We'd have a phenomenal night where we would grow in Ruchnius by many stratospheres. So although I'll take any of the Dalet Banim, I think I'd like to spend my night preferably with the Chacham. Some may say that, and others may not say it, but think it. I want to share with you a beautiful pshat that I saw in a wonderful Haggadah. Our Gemara and our Chachamim teach us that that may not be the correct approach. We're familiar with the famous Reb Chiya. Reb Chiya was Rebbe's foremost Talmud. He was taught by him seven different approaches, as the Gemara Nedarim Daf Mem Aleph tells us, seven different approaches to the entire Torah. Reb Chiya, this foremost disciple of Rebbe, was the co-author of the Tosefta. So in learning, Reb Chiya was a giant of unparalleled proportions. Reb Chiya was known for something else. Perhaps you remember in a number of shiurim we speak out the Gemara of Metziah Pehei and Ksubas Kuf Gimel. What else is Reb Chiya known for? He single-handedly developed a very charitable and educational project to help the underprivileged. You must remember what we're referring to. The Gemara in both of those places tells us about Reb Chiya that he proclaimed, "I have a way to make sure Torah is not forgotten from Klal Yisrael." And but a few weeks ago, we mentioned what he would do. He would get the ground ready and plant seeds, turn it into flax. Out of the flax, he would make a net. From the net, he would trap deer. He would kill the deer. He would give the meat to the needy. In fact, that shear a few weeks ago spoke out in great detail why he had to give the meat to the needy. If we're talking about Torah, what difference does it make what you do with the meat? but that we addressed about 2 months ago. And then he would use the klaf, the hide, and he would write Chumash on this one and Mishnah on this one. He then traveled to community upon community to teach Torah. He taught it to a few boys over here and a few boys over here. And then he asked this boy to teach that boy and this one to teach that one, and he would travel from one town to another, remote places again and again, and he would begin. In fact, his approach was so extraordinary that his own Rebbe said, Kama Gadol Maisachia, how great are his ways. Rebbe's son once asked his father, even greater than your own, and he said yes. When Rebbe was on his deathbed, he was giving instructions who his successor should be. Nu? Who's going to be the Rosh Hashiva of Klal Yisrael? It's a shoo-in. Shouldn't it be Reb Chiya? I just told you he's Rebbe's foremost disciple. Co-author of the Tosefta. Undoubtedly a Ga'in Batayr of unparalleled proportions we can't even fathom. So I would assume that he was to be his Rebbe's successor. He was overlooked for the position of Rosh Hashiva. When they asked Rebbe the reason for that decision, Rebbe replied, and I quote, because Reb Chiya is involved in mitzvahs, and I don't want to disturb him from his life of mitzvahs. Now let's analyze Rebbe's response for a moment. He's on his deathbed, and he's picking a successor to become the Rosh Hashiva of Klal Yisrael. The candidate who would get this position would have the highest teaching position in Klal Yisrael. Across the entire Jewish globe, he would be able to teach those that are the foremost scholars, the most brilliant, the greatest erudition. And yet Rebbe said, I'm not picking Reb Chiya because he's involved in mitzvahs and I don't want to disturb him. Reb Chiya does work that is too vital for me to disturb. Reb Chiya works with the simple. Reb Chiya works with the uneducated. Reb Chiya works with the youth from distant villages. And that was a more important calling in life for his most prized disciple. So the position of Rosh Hashiva of Klal Yisrael, that's going to go to someone else. But I cannot disturb or take Reb Chiya away from his mitzvahs, because you know what he's doing? He's teaching the simple. He's teaching the uneducated. He's traveling to the distant villages to make sure that no one gets lost in the system. Now let's revisit the opening question from a few moments ago. It's the night of the Seder. So who do you want to spend the night with? We said many would say, and many perhaps wouldn't say, but think it's got to be the Chacham. After this extraordinary, trailblazing explanation from Rebbe and his prized disciple Reb Chiya, I think we have to remember that the real answer to that question is, I want to spend it with whomever I have the opportunity to. I want to spend it with all of my children, with all of the youths that I could possibly impact. And whether the ones that are hearing my words the night of the Seder are the simple or the uneducated, or those who are so distant and remote they may not even be at the Seder, I want you to hear these words clearly. The night of the Seder is for you. Getting close to the Ribbono Shel Olam is for all of us together. And there's no place for a person to answer, well, if I could, it would be with the Chacham or with this one. Because if Rebbe could make a comment about Reb Chiya, he's doing mitzvahs and he's so worthy and he's so involved, I don't want to disturb him. And we said, who is he working with? The youth, those who were distant, those who were simple, those who weren't educated, those who didn't know. If Reb Chiya could do it, Lou, what about us? Dare I say that that has to be our approach in our families, in our communities, in our schools, in the way that we feel about a fellow Yid. Of course, we strive for whatever levels of greatness a person, he or she, has the ability to achieve. But please don't forget the approach of Reb Chiya. Please don't forget that his own Rebbe made a comment, Kama Godol Maisa Chi, and when his son asked his father, even greater than yours, he answered yes. Because to be able to educate and to impact and to elevate everyone is a tremendous chus. And perhaps this is another challenge, not only for the night of the Seder, within our families. Some of our children excel on one level academically or intellectually, whatever it might be, and others, everyone on different levels. And then maybe we see others who, when we look at them, do we run towards them, away from them? What's our feeling and approach? It's got to be the approach of Reb Chiya. And while there's a tremendous amount that still needs to be said, I want to share with you something that we said a number of months ago from the Mashgiach Ramat Yisrael, Zecher Tzadik V'Kadosh Livracha. How hard it is to say those words. But I think perhaps this pshat from the Mashgiach will help us with all of the pshatim that we said tonight, and then we'll end with a bracha. In the middle of the Haggadah, we talk about Kol HaBen, every son that was born, Paro gave the decree, they have to be thrown into the river. There were two women, Yecheved and Miriam, known as Shifra and Puah, who defied that death decree of the evil Paro. Why do Shifra and Puah have the name Shifra and Puah? They were Yecheved and Miriam, Moshe Rabbeinu's mother and sister. Why Shifra and Puah? Now she tells us, Shifra from the word Shemish Aperes Es Havlad. When the baby was born, she would beautify and swaddle the baby. And where's the name Puah from? Rashi tells us Puah is from the word Poa, to talk, to soothe, and to coo the baby. Ramat Yisrael used to ask, in the name of the Ponovich and Rosh Hashiva, Reb Shmuel Rozovsky, such a powerful question. Mayrai v'rabbeisai. Could we analyze the Rashi I just said? Who were these two women in reality? Yocheved and Miriam. Moshe's mother and Moshe's sister. Do we know how great they were? They were Nevi'is of the highest caliber. To be a Nevi'ah, you have to have the most extraordinary knowledge, intellectually brilliant. You never entertain a mundane thought. Clearly, they had very strong personalities because they were able to stand up to the evil decree of Paro. So we're talking about Moshe Rabbeinu's mother and sister, Nevi'is of the highest caliber, intellectually brilliant, knowledge beyond, not entertain a mundane thought, standing up with strong personalities to Paro, and how are they known for perpetuity? As Shifra and Puah. You know why? Because they swaddled and cooed babies. I just told you how extraordinary they were in every aspect of life. And they're known for perpetuity because they swaddled and cooed babies? Reb Shmuel Grozovsky used to say yes. Because swaddling and cooing babies means you care for them. You want to nurture them. You want to comfort them. And you want to raise them to the next level. And that, truth be told, at the end of the day, is the highest praise of all. Beyond being a Nevi'ah and having intellectual knowledge and incredible brilliance and wisdom and not entertaining a mundane thought and a strong personality, you know what's more than all of those? You care. You comfort. You nurture. You want to raise and be there for someone else. All of those make the greatest title Shifra and Puah. I think the night of the Seder and the Yom Tov of Pesach is to see how much of the Shifra and Puah we have within us. Think about all the Pshatim that we've said tonight. When we bring out the Shifra and Puah from within, the care, the concern, the love, the nurturing, the growth, when we bring that out, we invite not only those on the outside, but we invite those on the inside. It helps us become like Avraham Avinu, kichoim hayayim, like the sun. It helps us have a tent open from all four sides. Avraham established the prayer of Shacharis. You can't only daven it every morning. You gotta live it. It certainly helps us realize the beauty within all of the children, all of Klal Yisrael. So no, we don't only gravitate to the Chacham and say, tonight is your night. That is not true. Tonight is a night to make it a year's worth of emulating Reb Chiya. Reb Chiya was involved in the mitzvah and the noble life of being there for all. The simple, the uneducated, those who are distant, those he had to travel to. And knew, what about us? It all stems from Shifra and Puah, because as wonderful as all of the knowledge and wisdom and brilliance and education, but do you care? Do you nurture? Do you help mold? Do you help those grow and bring about the beauty from within? The Seder is an extraordinary night to be able to bring about these achievements. You know, the night of the Seder, we were redeemed on two very profound levels. We were physically redeemed, and we were spiritually redeemed. There was a geula to our body and a redemption to our soul. It is the Chassam Sofer who says, what is the bracha we say most often the night of the Seder? Borei pri ha-gofen. How do you spell the word gofen? Gimel pei nun. And what does that stand for, says the Chassam Sofer? Geulaseinu pidus nafshenu. Every time we will say the bracha ha-gofen, I ask you, I beg you, I beseech you. Please think of Gofen, Geulaseinu, Pidus Nafshenu, to have a redemption to our soul and a redeeming of our body. That's the night of the Seder. And especially this year, when since October 7th, the massacre on Simchas Torah, we are beseeching the Ribbono Shel Olam, and it must be in unity. We think every day about the hostages and how we beg for them. Geulaseinu pidus nafshenu. May they be freed and have a redemption of their nefesh in gizunt. May everyone be able to come home safely. May we be able to experience peace around the world with the geula shalema rabbeisai. The month of Nisan is the month of the Geula Shalema. May we merit, as it says in the Haggadah, V'noichal Shom min hazvachum min apsochim. We're learning the laws of Karbon. We're learning the laws. But let us be zaycha V'noichal Shom min hazvachum min apsochim. to see the karbonis, to see the bayishlishi, may we and all the Klal Yisrael around the world, and specifically in Eretz Yisrael, have a yomtiv of Boire Pri Hagofen, Gula Seinu, Pidus Nafshenu, and may we be Zaycha to come together, all of Klal Yisrael as one, to be able to rejoice now, this Nisan, with the Gula Shalema, Bimheira, Biyameinu, Amen.